Each one of us wears some type of crown every day of our lives. This week, for example, I've worn the crown as a father, as a spouse, as a child, as a teacher, as a rabbi, and as a student. But as we read the Torah this morning, each one of us just received another crown. And that is the crown of Torah, as we received revelation, Torah at Mount Sinai. But directly before we stood and read the Ten Commandments in the first Aliyah, we read that we will be a Mamlecha Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, that we will be a kingdom of priests, and we will be a holy nation. Sforno, the Italian commentator, dissects these two terms in this way. A Mamlecha Kohanim, a kingdom of priests, has the responsibility to show the entire world God's greatness. And a Goy Kadosh is a people that will become a nation, a permanent nation, without the subject of impairment. Two very different terms. But then you look at the words of Rabbeinu Bachya, the 13th century Spanish commentator, and instead of dissecting definitions, he looks at these two terms and their implications. He says, Mamlecha Kohanim, a kingdom of priests, implies royalty that can only basically be chosen. But a Goy Kadosh, a holy nation, is for everybody. A Goy Kadosh, a holy nation, is received through Torah. And therefore he says that a Goy Kadosh is listed in the Torah last, not by accident, but on purpose, because it is accepted and accessible to all of us. Maimonides, in his Hilchot Talmud Torah, in his Laws of Teaching and Learning Torah, explains that there are three crowns: the crown of royalty, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of Torah. He says that Aaron the high priest, he merited the crown of royalty. King David, he merited the crown of kingship. But again, each and every one of us, rich or poor, young and old, merits that crown of Torah. The Midrash explains that when God was shopping around the Torah and he got to the Jewish people and they accepted it in Aseh v'Nishma, first they would do and then they would listen to what was in the Torah, that God asked a simple question. He said, who will be the guarantor for the Torah that I give you? And the children of Israel thought for a moment and they said, we have the answer. It will be our patriarchs, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They will guarantee that we will keep the Torah. And God did not accept that answer. God said each one of those people had their own crisis and doubts of faith. And so that answer is not good enough. And so the people went back to the drawing board and they came back with another response to God. They said, we have it. They said, the children, the future generations of the Jewish people, they will be the guarantors of Torah. And at that moment, God said, the Torah is yours, because the children, the future generation, is a guarantor that I can trust. Over these past few weeks, I've had the opportunity in teaching sixth graders the art and ritual and meaning behind tefillin. And I never really understood this midrash until yesterday. Yesterday, I gave the sixth graders an assignment. They had to make a PSA, a public service announcement, basically a commercial, about the meaning of tefillin to those who have never heard or seen about tefillin. And within 10 minutes, it was a miracle in my eyes, using iPhones and computers and other technological devices. They created these short commercials, 15 to 20 seconds, about the meaning of tefillin. They use references to the Super Bowl and arts and music and movies and everything. And at first I started chuckling and I thought, that's the meaning of tefillin for these sixth graders? But then I stepped back and I was reminded of this midrash. Because as these young people put the tefillin on their head, I was reminded that they have just put the crown of Torah on their head. It has become not just accessible to them, but they in that moment became the guarantors of the Torah. And finally, a short story. Once the student of the Rebbe of Kutz, the Kutzker Rebbe, went to see his Rebbe on this Shabbat when they read in the shul the reading of the Ten Commandments. And he went home to his father in the village where he was from, and the father said, "So, in the shul in the town of the Kutzker Rebbe, do they accept the Torah any differently than we do?" And the young student said, "Actually, father, they do. You see, all around the world, when we read the Ten Commandments, we say, 'Lo tignov,' do not steal. And all around the world, that means do not steal from others. But in Kutzk, it means a little something different. 'Lo tignov,' do not steal, means do not steal from yourself. Do not fool yourself for one moment. Do not steal a moment in time that you could have incorporated the Torah into your life." And so this Shabbat, we pray that the Torah will be accessible to each and every one of us. And we pray, "Lo tignov," do not steal those moments in time that could have been immersed in Torah, whether it's in this sanctuary or synagogue, or in our daily life. Because when we keep hold to those moments, truly, we will be a Goy Kadosh, a holy nation. Shabbat Shalom.